Good afternoon. It's a very pleasant afternoon here. It's sunny with dandelions throwing up and a tiny, tiny bit of breeze. And it's probably quite warm outside, but I'm inside and I'm quite excited about this particular beer for the simple reason that it's brand new to me. I have not seen this one before, and that's because I think it's a brand new beer to the range, and it's got a white stag in a medieval armoured suit. And it says bold and hoppy with crisp bitterness, pale ale, iron heart, it's called H-A-R-T, 5.2%. So it's a whopping 5.2%, which in today's alcohol world is pretty big, not as big as the big job at 7.2%, but nevertheless a very respectable pale ale that's got a bit of a kick in it. So I'm going to read from the back, then I'm going to pour it, and we'll see whether it's a contender for, you know, the great summer pale ales. I've also been enjoying Proper Job from St. Austell IPA, 5.5%, which I haven't put into this particular one because I wanted to go for profiling the big job, the big brother. And the other one that I was umming and ahhing about was Badger's Golden Champion, which really is a super, super summer ale. But I thought I'd be a little bit novel and I'd profile this one from Badger instead. So this is Iron Heart. Pair with roast beef or aged cheddar, hops, Cascade and Amarillo. Now, I think this is the first time they've given us the hops, so that's pretty exciting. Powerful, proud and unflinching, the Iron Heart stands tall among the ancient trees. Rooted in strength and sharpened by instinct, it's a creature of quiet courage and noble reserve. This 5.2% pale ale is brewed with a firm malt base and a bold blend of hops for a beer that's pale yet full-bodied and unashamedly proud of its strength. It's a bold beer with a noble soul and just enough bite to keep things interesting. Characterful brews, colourful tales, this Badger is anything but black and white. Badgerbeers.com. Now, I wanted to know more about the Badger Brewery, so I went into Dorset, and the giveaway is 1777, that's when it was established. And if you go to a place called Blandford Forum, which does seem to me fairly bland, but on the outskirts of the town is a huge ancient dock, satanic mill type brewery, and it's in white letters, a massive 1777, and it's the brewery called Hall and Woodhouse. And so in that area from Hampshire on, you can get the Badger beers on draft, okay? But I just seem to turn up at a time when they weren't open, unfortunately. But so Badger beers are a brand created by Hall and Woodhouse beers, and they're a very, very ancient and very localised Dorset company. And the other company I want to go and explore, which I'd never heard of, but I went drinking in some Dorset pubs and I discovered one called Palmer's, and apparently that's very, very old as well, over 200 years. So I'm hoping to discover more about that, but of course the ones that advertise themselves the most are the ones that are selling bottles, you know, throughout Britain. But that doesn't mean to say they're the only brewers or the oldest brewers or anything else. So, you know, enjoy beers at home by all means, but whenever you can, get out and explore as many breweries as you can. Use it as an excuse for going around Britain. So I've got a very long, slim glass today from Shepherd Neame. It's already a fantastic gold, really bright, middle-of-the-road gold. Not a pale gold like the Citra, not a hefty gold like the Big Job, but well in the middle here. I've got another 5.2 pale ale actually, so I've gone from 4.6%, 5.2%, and then the whopping 7.2%. And to be fair, you know, the Big Job is really one of the most refreshing beers, and not at all hefty for its whopping strength. There we go. Let's just give this one a quick photograph whilst the head is there. I just don't happen to have a Badger hang on, let's put the Badger top out there. Rather nice top. Fantastic. Right, yes, yeah, so I don't have a Badger glass, one of the few that I don't. Anyway, this looks really, really incredible. In fact, if I didn't know, I'd just suppose it was a lager because it's got such a head on it. So let's see where this is going. Got a nice clean, crisp barley nose. Well, I think this one's going to be a big favourite of mine, and it'd probably be worth doing a review of this one and the Golden Champion together to get the profile of two quite different pale ales from the same brewer. But wow, you know, I mean, just this is, I mean, the bubbles in this are more busy than lager bubbles. There's no way you would look at that and think that was a real ale. You would just assume it was a lager. A very good quality lager at that colour as well. It's just off really, really bright gold, just edging towards a slightly darker gold. If I was being asked what I thought it was, I would just say perhaps it was a continental pilsner. And that's not to detract from it in any way. You know, I think continental pilsners are the only other beers in the world that in any way, you know, reflect the brewing integrity and harmony of really good British ales. And I do think sometimes in the summer, it can be a good choice, especially in a pub that's just not providing real ales that you like. You know, the only other choice is to find a pilsner, but not many pubs offer them, to be fair. There's a pub down on the harbour at Folkestone, and they do about 8 or more continental pilsners, including some house names, their own, you know. Wow, this is really, really something very, very different from Badger. It's a fantastic strength. It's the strength that Stella Artois used to be before they dumbed it down to 4.6%. And often in a real ale, you can get away with that loss of alcohol because you can big it up in more hops and just, you know, a slightly tougher malt. But you know, in a lager, what do you get out of lager apart from fizz and the sort of crisp backbite kick, which is essentially the alcohol? You know, so for me, I mean, it's only brewed in Burton-on-Trent. It's not worth even considering. You know, I would never bother buying that anymore. It hasn't stayed true to its roots. It's got down 0.6%, and it's just become another nothingy lager, you know. But this one has sort of stepped in there. This is giving me those really excellent 5.2% notes. It's not in any way a lager, but I'm just comparing it on a hot day. Well, it's not a hot day, but you know, it's a beer I'm suggesting that's going to move lager drinkers across to real ales. It's absolutely stupendous. Faultless. Faultless. 6 out of 6 stars. That will definitely be a house beer for me. I'm really, really pleased with this particular tasting of these four beers. Probably one of them I won't buy again, only because I've decided personally to boycott the brewery for the simple reason that they look like a family firm, but they've been taken over by something else, and they try for far too much reach. And they've recently dumbed down their ghost chip 0.4%, but they're putting it out as the same beer. And you know, once you've dropped the percentage, it's not the same beer. It never will be the same beer, but you're marketing it as the same beer. I just don't like that. To me, that's taking your, you've spent decades building a brand and a following for a beer, and then you just dump it like that. It's not even slightly acceptable or plausible. So let's hope Badger keep this one going for a long time. One of the most sort of disappointing brewers I've found in recent years was Hobgoblin, because they had an absolutely iconic label and brand, which they've dumbed down, but they had, some really great ones like Imperial Red, Dark Witch. They did like a black IPA, they did a stout, and all you're seeing is that carbon copy label now. Like, they do perhaps four or five, but they're not anywhere near the brewer they were. And the fact is that they used to be in a tiny little place called Astwood under Wychwood or something like that, and then they just got conglomerated in Burton-on-Trent, and now they're just another Burton-on-Trent big brand, churning out beers as cheap as they can, but pricing them the same as everything else, I mean, when you get these 4 for £7, 4 for £7.50 deals, in there you've got things like Badger Thirsty Ferret, which is a top quality beer, compared to something like Sharp's Doom Bar, which is glorified, dark treacle at best. It's rubbish. It's not even beer. I won't touch it. The problem with it is it throws them all in at an equal playing field, and I don't mind paying more money for better beers. I would expect to, I don't want to be paying the same for some rubbish like Doom Bar. Well, I don't pay for Doom Bar, I don't. I mean, the last time I had a Doom Bar, it was a pint pulled on draft, and I took two sips and just walked out the pub, and I've never been back, because don't serve me that kind of rubbish. I mean, essentially, if you go to a pub that's serving Doom Bar, don't go back there, because they've got no intention of providing, decent consumer products, essentially. Don't try and sell me cheap shit, is what I'm saying. Right, I love this. Right, it's going to take another two or three bottles for me to sort of get inside it and decide, but I mean, it couldn't be further away from Thirsty Ferret. But to do a Badger tasting would be really good. What I particularly love is a fairly new one for them, which is the Master Stoat Coffee Stout. Now that really is superb, but obviously in the summer I'm more interested in pale ales. But that doesn't mean I'm not drinking any stouts. Sometimes I'll have stout instead of red wine for a meat dish, like a lamb bolognese, for example. This one is just fantastic. My only worry is it's gonna go down far too quick, and it's 5.2%, and it's absolutely glorious. If you like a continental pilsner, you're going to absolutely love this one, and again, it's not lagery in any way at all, but you know, it gives you that kind of, it's a kind of stance somehow. I think they've done a really, really good job here. I don't think they're pandering to the modern trend or anything like that. I mean, as far as I know, they don't do a grapefruit beer. No reason why they shouldn't, but they do tend to stick to very traditional motifs. The most extraordinary of their ales is the Blandford Fly, which is very, very ginger and absolutely wonderful on a hot day. Wonderful. I should get some of that in. Now, that's the kind of thing which you could make a very unusual shandy with. If you wanted to do half and half, or you know, two thirds to a third, you could blend it with ginger beer, or that Fever Tree ginger beer would be excellent. And that would make a very long, refreshing drink for a very, very hot day with ice, and just carve some ginger root slices in there. Fantastic. I mean, just be a bit exciting with your beer. This one would go well with a slice of lime or lemon. It's just not massively to my taste. It would even work, you know, coming up, say, towards the winter, perhaps with a slice of orange in it. That would be quite interesting if you like putting things into your beer. Anyway, I'm going to throw the dice for a while, and then I'm going to do some chess study, and I've got a lot of just tidying around to get done. So I just couldn't resist trying this one out. Absolutely beautiful. For this so far, I've had three out of the four summer pails, and very, very difficult to decide which one is going to be my favourite. I think, you know, I think these three will all be favourites in their own way. Cheers.